The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Greenwald, Dayan at the Beis Havad of Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Zvochem Daf Tzadik Hei. We continue through the perek, and now we're going to discuss the dinim of Mariko Shtifa, which is in the same parsha in the Torah, that's why it's in the same perek, as the din of Kibbutz Begadim. The din of Mariko Shtifa is on the kelim that we used in the Bishul of the Karbonois. They have to undergo the process, which is the same thing as Hagolas Kalim. Lamaisa, the sugis in front of us, compare the dinim of getting out blias of chometz before Pesach. We'll get back to the comparison of Pesach, it's very important, but the din of any iser, any milchik spoon that was used for fleishiks, and now there's blias of basa b'cholov, in the doifinakli, inside the fork, inside the spoon, you have to undergo Hagolas Kalim in order to be mitar. A kitchen that was used Treif has to, if it was used water, so it needs hagola with water. If it was used beklirishon, it needs beklirishon. If it was used belibon, so it needs a blowtorch. Whatever you need in order to kasher a kitchen, to kasher utensils is needed also in the Beis HaMikdash. That's very clear in the sugis in front of us. On the other hand, we discussed previously, and it's clear that since this has to be done b'mokim kaddish, it's part and parcel of the kaddishim process. It's not a din of yeridei that bliyos have to be taken out of the walls of the kli in order to facilitate being able to use that kli afterwards. What would you gain by breaking the kli cheres then? Kli cheres that you can't be magli, break. You didn't take out the bliyos, and also you're not using the kli anymore. It's clear that the point is that the gemar, the hashloma of the achilas hakabonis, is the disposal of the blios of the Kodesh, not within the walls of the Kelim, like we discussed. But let's try to get Lamaisa into the Yeridaidic comparison that the Sugis Lamaisa do compare what's going on over here in Miriko Shtifa to the din of blios in the walls of a Kli that absorb non-kosher taste, in terms of its ability to be mafletam into something else, into an oichel that was cooked afterwards. Lamaisa the Gemara does compare. It is Doim Tagolas Kelim. In that context, the Rishonim are bothered by a very basic question over here. There's a major machlokes. The Beis Yosef in Yeridei Kuf Gimel brings a big machlokes. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, connected to other Rishonim in the end of Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Vav. We have a din over there in Avodah Zarah of Noisin Tam Levgam. Noisin Tam Levgam is a taste. For instance, if somebody used non-kosher sugar in eggs. Now, sugar does not make an egg tastier. If anything, it ruins the taste of eggs. A cocoa needs sugar, and an egg needs salt. So what happens if somebody would use non-kosher salt in a cocoa? Somebody would use non-kosher sugar in an egg. It's nice in time of gam. The time that it gives is poigim, ruins the taste of the food, of the host food. In that case, we don't say tam ki ikur, we don't aser the oichel because of the blios that it has tam of the dover that's poikin. One of the iron principles of Neisen Tam Levgam, and this is again every kosher kitchen, is that after 24 hours, blios that are in the walls of a cleave, somebody uses a fork for milchiks, for a stirring, a spoon for stirring a milchik, somebody uses a spoon for stirring a milchik soup, the halacha is that spoon can only be maflid, a tam cholov, which would aser up basar, who was then used for fleishiks, only within 24 hours. After 24 hours, the tam that's inside the walls is called noisin tam levgam. It's poigim, the meat that it was used. If somebody used a milchik spoon, and 25 hours later used that very same milchik spoon for stirring a bowl of, for stirring a fleishik soup, for stirring meatballs, the halach is it does not ask for the meatballs. The spoon will have to undergo Agolas Kelim because it has in it blias of midrabbanan and it has in it lamaisa blias and milchiks and fleishiks, which b'shaitam were nois and tam l'shvach. But the food itself would not. Why? It's nois and tam l'vgam. That's a klal. Well, we just said that the shear of that time is 24 hours is not so poshut. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam hold that the blias in a kli are nifgam b'soif ha-layla. If it underwent, went through layla, it's medurikim b'psukim in Parshas Matos, that if the morning after the kli was used, you use the spoon in milchiks, in a milchik casserole, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Tomorrow morning, from the Netzachamu, from the Alois HaShachar, from the Netzachamu, the halacha is that the spoon is nice and amlev gamu will not impart, asering milchtig taste into a fleshig pot. Fregen the Rishonim, that if that's the case, l'choira, the din of blios, in the din of Marika Shtifa is always going to be the next day. Now, it happens to be that there's a machlokes Rishonim, when is the zman of the chiyuv of Marika Shtifa? The Rambam seems to imply that the din of Mariko Shtifa is chal, right? As soon as you use the kelim for bishul chatas b'mokum kodosh, the halach is that's mechuyim Mariko Shtifa. If that's the case, it's nice nam l'shvach. It's that day. L'maisa, the Rambam itself is problematic, because the Rambam Pirshim Mishnais clearly says that the reason why you're making Mariko Shtifa, the reason why the Torah says to be makshir, the kli that you use for cooking the kodosh, is in order not to impart taste to something else. So it's, then it doesn't have to be done right away. According to Rav Rishonim, since the tzura of the din is like a hagolas kelim, so when is it done? It's done when you want to use that kli, when you want to take that kli back to the tchum of chulin, and you want to use that kli for chul, it's the next day after this man, like the Rishonim say, because the blio has become noisor, and if the blias become noisor, they will impart taste to anything else that's used afterwards. When does the blias become noisor? The next day. The next day, according to Rashi or Benetam, the next day it's Nois and Tam Levgam. If it's Nois and Tam Levgam, the Tam doesn't answer. If the Tam doesn't answer, there's no reason why you should have to be Machshir in the first place. So if we say it's just Exes HaKosov, okay, but the Rishonim explained that the way. The Rishonim explained that the Gedar Advarm, again, we have to explain this, but we understand that on the one hand, there's a din over here, B'mokum Kodesh, it's a din part and parcel of Kodesh. On the other hand, the Gedar Advarm, the way the din works, is in the realm of being machshu the kli from imparting taste into something else. That is the hashlomo of the kachin process. But it's not going to impart taste that asus. So what's the problem? This is the kash of the Rishonim ask. So truth to tell, the taz in, like we said in Yerodei, Simukuf Gimel, where these halachas of natlap, noisin lam lefgam are discussed, answers more or less what we just suggested. Maybe the din of Mariko Shtifa has nothing to do with the noiser that's in the walls of the kli being imparted into tomorrow's cholent, that you're going to ask for the cholent. And economy, it's noisin dam levgam. That's not the point. The point is that itself, noiser has to be burnt. That's halacha. Noiser has to be burnt, and it has to be burnt with dinim of kodesh. So we use the Torah imposed ways that the noiser that's in the walls of the kli has to be disposed of. Has nothing to do with the fact that the noiser tomorrow will go into the other food. However, in Rishonim is mavur not the way. The Rishonim say that the point is to get the noiser out of the walls of the kli before it imparts taste to something else. L'chor is going to impart taste that will not aser. So that's the mahalach of the Taz. Again, the Rishonim don't seem to go with that. There's another possible mahalach before we discuss the mahalach of the Rishonim. Let's throw out an idea. Rashi holds in Chum Daf Tzadik Ches, the way the Mefarshim understand Shitas Rashi, that even though in every variable of Nois and Tam, there's always a shear how much Nisin as Tam is considered Nois and Tam. As a general rule, if something is bottled with Shishim, it's because if something is 60 times more, it's certainly not going to have the taste. It could be less than that. Maybe you could taste it. The sugin chulda of tzadiches. The klal that we know halachal ma'aseh is bitul b'shishim. Less than shishim does not have an impart of taste. However, by kachim, the halach is, like we said, the pasuk says kol asher yiga b'vsoro yigdosh. Anything that's b'leah from kodesh is yigdosh. And we asked, why is this different than any other bli of iser? And the answer, at least according to Shitas Rashi, seems to be that Kodesh, which is Nivla into Chulin, the din of the Chulin will have the din of the Kachim, even if it's strong enough, even if the taste is not strong enough to actually impart taste. A kosher donut that has a taste of a Bliya of Kodesh will be also, even if that Bliya is not strong enough to actually be tasted. Even though it's not tasted. Even if it's one in a million, even b'mashu it asses up. What this is helpful for is that it's possible that the same way a taste doesn't have to have significance in terms of imparting taste. A blio will aser taruvis even without being nois and tam, even without imparting taste, even if it's a mashu. Maybe nois and tam lufgam is the same thing. Maybe the same way, even an insignificant taste, a one in a million will aser of the whole pot. The same thing will be true if that taste is insignificant because it's nois and tam lufgam. Is that sushtal, is that parallel correct? Seems to be a machlaik sushainim. We have another place, halach l'maisa. Let's forget about kachem for a second. Let's go into Issa v'Heta. There's another place where Chazal asserted something, halach l'maisa, very significant, asserted something b'mashu. Chometz b'Pesach, because of the significance of Chometz b'Pesach, Chazal asserted b'mashu. It's a Gemara Pesach and Daf Kof Tes. That is true according to the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Any big pot of Pesach Dik soup, and on Pesach, again, before Pesach, it doesn't have a shame issue of Chometz. If it falls into the pot, it becomes mutter. But on Chometz itself, which is the reason, by the way, why we scrub our kitchen so vigorously, not because of the Chiv B'dika. Chometz B'dika, you only have to check for a Kazayis. The reason why we scrub so hard is because we're trying to get rid of any Chshash of Chometz B'mashu. All you need is a Mashu on, in terms of a little spot on one of your cabinets of chometz that got stuck there, and if some water touches it, and a mashu drips into the food on the counter, you've acid up all the food on the counter with the kalim. So Mela, we're machme beyond chumra to scrub and scrub and scrub until we ache because of a chshash mashu of chometz b'Pesach. Is that true? Also, the nois and tam of gam asas Pesach, even a taste, l'moshul. If somebody uses by accident a chometz sticker spoon. He's using a chometz sticker spoon a week after the last time the spoon was used with hot food. It's certainly nois and tam lufgam. He by accident takes out a chometz sticker spoon and he mixes a pot of Pesach. Forget about basar b'chalav. He mixes Pesach sticker soup. Is the taste that's in that spoon? It's nois and tam lufgam. Does that answer? That is a machlok to mecham normal. It's a machlok to shoinim. And there's a difference in the minhag between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. Famous story where a woman came crying to Chacham Avadya Zecharono Livracha, and she wanted to know, she had gone to another Rav, and he told her she had mixed a meal on Pesach with a spoon. He had told her yes, throughout the whole meal, and her husband was going to throw her out of the house. She went to Chacham Avadya and immediately asked her, is your husband Sfaradi? If your husband Sfaradi, he's allowed to eat the food. If your husband's Svad, he's allowed to eat the food. Nois and tam lufgam does not aser according to Svad. Only according to Ashkenazim is nois and tam lufgam the same thing. But according to Ashkenazim, according to the Rishonim, the Rosh, Tosfos, that hold the nois and tam lufgam and tam b'mashu is the same thing. Would we say the same thing on a deraisa level that if chometz, according to Rashi, Chum Daf Tzadik Ches, a lot of Rishonim hold not that way. But at least according to Rashi, we have a teretz da akasha by answering that the blias, the same way they ask the mashu, they ask even though they know it's in tam lufgam. Whether that could be true on a deraisa level is questionable. So whether this could be used, this chain of thought could be used as a teretz to the kasha of the Rishonim is questionable. The Rishonim akaponim, Pashtus, you don't have to look further. They don't hold like Rashi and Chulav Tzadikhez that Tam B'mashu Asus and Kodshim Deraisa. We'll discuss in Yitzhak Shem the next year how they do actually answer this kasha. So in summary, we discussed the dichotomy, the dual nature of the Dinim Riku Shtif. On the one hand, it sounds from the Rishonim that it has to do with part and parcel of the Din of Issevet. It has to do with being Maflet Tam into other Kalim, into all the food that's cooked in the kalim after the food becomes noisa. That's on the one hand, sounds like a nisivet de galocha, but it's clear from the context, breaking the klicheres, it's clear from the context that it has to be done by Mokham Kodesh, the Mariko Shtifa, even the Shtifa itself will discuss, the Chayah has nothing to do with this Sivet. All that has to do with the shame Kodesh, it has to do with Avodas Kodesh, there's both together. The Taz we said actually, along these lines, says that the idea of the Mariko Shtifa is not to prevent other food from becoming nifgam, asered with the time of the noiser, but it's actually just to dispose of the noiser. The Gzeis HaKosov is how you're supposed to dispose of the noiser. The Rishonim do not seem to agree with this approach. It has to be consistent with the Kololim that are put on Nisiv HaHeter. And like we said, we have to bear in mind that there is, even though we're talking about bliyus, we're talking about isaveta, but we're talking about it in the context of gzeiras hakos, which the chayre is a parsha of its own parsha's achilas kotchim. So we're going to have to see how that fits in. That's going to be the rishonim. We discussed the possible approach, which would tell us that this bliyus of a mashuhu in Issa Kochim would also asur up bliyus of Nezim Namnavgam. We question that approach, and therefore, we're going to have to explore Bi'un, the approaches of the Rishonim, where they reconcile the Gedorim of Issa Veheter together with the Gedorim of Bliyos, which is Nischadish, in the Parsha of Mirka Shtifa, which is Dafkin Kochim.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.